What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, a lot to get into today. It's going to be your normal Tuesday episode. We're going to be getting into what went wrong and also what went right from the game on Sunday against the Bears, because there was a lot that went wrong, but we will end it on a positive note with what went right. But first, we have a giant Chargers news, because on Monday we found out that offensive coordinator Ken Wisenhunt was relieved of his duties. So of course we are going to start there with that, because that is huge news for a struggling Chargers offense. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. On Monday, the Chargers announced that they were relieving offensive coordinator Ken Wisenhunt of his duties. Wisenhunt has been the Chargers offensive coordinator since the 2016 season and is now being let go mid-season because of the Chargers' struggling offense, David. Wisenhunt this year led the Chargers to 17th in yards per game this year with 350.6. They were 23rd in the league with 19.6 points per game, but they've struggled to run the football for most of the season, ranking 28th in the NFL in rushing yards per game with 69.6. That has been kind of a key thing for Ken Wisenhunt, who has never really been able to get the Chargers rushing game going. He first started with the Chargers in 2013 as the Chargers offensive coordinator. They are fifth in the NFL in yards per game, which led him to signing with the Tennessee Titans as their head coach the next season before returning to the Chargers. But during his tenure with the Chargers, they've never been worse than 14th in the NFL in yards per game. They've never been worse than 13th in the NFL in points per game before this season. But David, the one thing he could never get the Chargers to do well was run the football. He was 15th in 2018, he was 24th in 2017, and he was 26th in rushing yards per game in 2016. So even though there were some years where the Chargers offense looked really good, they were still never able to run the football.
Yeah, you're right, Daniel. They never could run the football. They relied heavily on the passing game, which they utilized to great effectiveness, but never had any balance. And that went against head coach Anthony Lynn's core philosophy of staying balanced and running the football. I mean, the play calling also was very vanilla and very predictable. It's something that held the Chargers offense back.
Yeah, and at a certain point, sometimes you just have to get a new voice in there, a new guy to come in and change things up when everything has stayed the same. And you're right, Anthony Lynn, at his core, a former running back and a former running backs coach, wants to be able to be a smash mouth team, wants to be a physical team, and most importantly, wants to run the football effectively. He knows how important it is. And with the move, the Chargers did not name an interim offensive coordinator, but they did say that Shane Steichen, the Chargers quarterback coach of four seasons, will take over the play calling, but that Anthony Lynn will be heavily involved. We know that Anthony Lynn was the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills in 2016 before ending up as the interim head coach at the end of the season, so he has some experience doing it. This is the first big opportunity for Shane Steichen, who will follow in the footsteps of guys like Frank Reich, who is now a head coach with the Indianapolis Colts. Ken Wisenhunt turned his Chargers offense coordinator job into a head coaching job, so this is a huge opportunity for a guy who is in his fourth season as the quarterback's coach. He was also the quality control coach for the offense in 2014 and 2015, and also had some time with the Browns as an assistant coach in 2013. So he's been around for a little bit, David, and for him, he has a lot on his plate. He has to fix the rushing game. He has to figure out how to use this offense with an offensive line that is really struggling, and the Chargers have to figure out how to put up more points on a game-to-game basis and find some consistency. So this is a big tryout for Shane Steichen, who isn't the official offensive coordinator, but with him and Anthony Lynn, we will see how it works out, because they're going to be under the spotlight now.
You're absolutely right, but they have to make some changes. I mean, obviously, the running game was not getting it done. They have to run the ball more efficiently. Anthony Lynn said in his press conference that he wants the running game to be at about 4.3 yards per carry, and the Chargers are nowhere near that. So the first thing they got to do is to run the ball more efficiently. Then they need to be more creative with their play calls, but they also need to put their best players in the best positions for them to succeed. You got to give Austin Ekeler more touches. Getting him only 5 touches in a game is completely unacceptable. You got to put your stars in position to help you out. Hopefully, they get to do that with this tandem.
Yeah, and that's the key for this team. Ken Whisenhunt wasn't able to evolve with what this offense has now. And the Chargers offense struggled and went through some really bad stretches, like the 5-series stretch to start the last game, which was 4 punts and an interception. That looks really bad on an offense coordinator, and also the lack of adjustments at halftime that we just haven't seen from the Chargers this season until the game is almost out of reach and they have to make a furious comeback. So the Chargers needed new blood at the position. It shows some urgency for the team, which I know the fan base will appreciate. This Chargers team hadn't shown very much urgency in this season. That has somewhat spiraled out of control. But now heads are rolling. Ken Whisenhunt is out as the offensive coordinator. Now Gus Bradley's seat gets a little warmer. And now Shane Steichen has a lot of responsibility on his plate. But we do have 2 more segments to get into what went wrong and also what went right to wrap up the show. But first, I need to tell you guys that you could be winning some money this week on NFL, and all of the action that you have on those games is going to make those games so much more exciting to watch. And the only place to bet on football is MyBookie. As a true football fan, you already know just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test. So why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all of your favorite pro and college football action every weekend, and they always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. Best part is, right now, guys, MyBookie will actually give you free money to bet with them. They will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you a free $1,000 when you sign up and put some money down on MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit, and you can use that on all of your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, to double your cash with MyBookie at MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to get into what we do every single Tuesday when we're recapping the games from the weekend and get into our what went wrong and what went right segments of the show. And as always, we'll start with what went wrong so we can end things nicely and what went right, because, hey, at least it was a win, correct? So let's go ahead and get into all of the things that went wrong, because even though it is a game in which the Chargers win, David, it's still a game where we could probably fill up an entire show with all of the things that went wrong in this game. So what did you see specifically in this game that you want to start with as far as the things that went wrong that pretty much made the Chargers lose the game until the Bears blew it?
Well, I mean, I guess we'll start with, you know, the things that what went wrong with the things that went wrong pretty much immediately, and that was Keenan Allen slipping all over the field. I mean, you also got to, you know, give him credit because he was, you know, playing on a hamstring injury where he didn't practice all week, but there was a couple of really bad slips, and I also want to, you know, pair the slipping with the drops. You know, a couple of really bad drops by Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, but, you know, that stuff just can't happen, and, you know, it definitely contributed to the Chargers almost losing this football game.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because of course the biggest things that went wrong in this game were the 2 drop touchdown passes, one by Mike and one by Keenan Allen, and that obviously sucks. You also had a big drop by Hunter Henry, which you almost never see in this game. That would have been a first down as well. So a lot of those bad plays, the slipping, I mean, the first 5 Chargers drives are something that went wrong. Listen to the first 5 drives for the Chargers. 4 punts, 1 interception, a total of 44 yards of offense. The most they gained on any one drive was 19 yards. That's about as bad as you can start a game. 5 drives in and you have 44 yards of offense before you get the 1 long drive before halftime. I mean, without that big drive with the Mike Williams 43-yard catch, that first half looks about as bad as it could possibly be. So, John, obviously, the drops, the Chargers just starting absolutely putrid offensively. All of those things went wrong for the Chargers on Sunday in a win. But what else did you see that went wrong in this game?
I am shocked that I am the second to go on this segment. That's a first. But for me, it's got to be our soft defense. How many times did we have fourth and short, third and short, and we just ran our soft little zone coverage and gave them the easy slant route or something that was easy in the middle of the field? We basically gave them a bunch of open plays when we should have been aggressive. And the run defense was rough, but we know the Chargers' run defense isn't going to be that good, but they did as good as they could possibly do with what they have. But when it came down to the aggressive play calling situations, the third and one, the fourth and one, third and two, we play a soft zone coverage and give up a big section of the field to complete a slant route instead of saying, hey, you want to complete this pass, you're going to have to make a perfect throw. No, that's, hey, if you can beat our pass rush, you can go ahead and complete this pass.
Yeah, John, and flipping that over to the other side, that was a big problem for the Chargers as well. But going to your point, I mean, the Chargers did get off the field on 64% of their third down. So that right there doesn't seem that bad. But I know the exact plays that you're talking about, and they obviously get the one fourth down and make it super easy. But there was a bunch of, you know, second and 16, and you give up 15 yards to the tight end, or a second and 15, and you give up 14 yards to Taylor Gabriel, or 22 yards to Taylor Gabriel. There was just too many nice, easy, big plays, and they let Mitchell Trubisky be pretty effective in this game for most of the time. But, John, the offensive side struggled in that situation as well. They only converted 2 out of their 10 third downs in this game. The Chargers are third in the league in converting third downs offensively. It was the one thing they had actually been decent at this season, and in this game they convert 2 out of 10. John, that's not going to win you games.
Yeah, you're not going to win games, and I think that has to go with aggressive play calling on the offensive side as well. Why are we not throwing the ball down the field like we did against the Titans? It was working. Instead, we're trying to force feed Melvin Gordon and then trying to throw on 3rd and 9 or something, or we get a holding call, and instead of, hey, you know, it's 1st and 20, let's try and throw the ball for a 10-yard completion. No, let's just hand it off to Melvin Gordon and make it 2nd and 18. Like, let's just make it the most hard situation we can for the offense when it comes to third down. The play calling was so conservative until we needed it. Like when we got the Mike Williams play, we finally took a shot deep, and look what happens. It works. You take a shot, it can work for you. You don't have to run the ball up the middle and then hope that 3rd and 9 becomes a quick pass to Henry or Allen.
Exactly. And the Chargers offense just had a pretty bad day all around. You did see some creative play calling. I liked the touchdown to Melvin Gordon, which was obviously a lot of individual work, not necessarily a great play call. But we did see some times with the Austin Eckler touchdown. I like that play call, get into I formation, have him leak out of the and get a mismatch against a linebacker for a touchdown. Those are the plays I like, but it's hard to really have any confidence in this Chargers offense. But it did get slowed down by a bunch of little things, drops, not being able to kick field goals. All of these things add up, and for the Chargers, you just can't have it with the slim margin of error that you have right now. But getting into more of what went wrong in this game, the rushing attack on both sides. I know you said we expected it, John, but at the same time, there's just a few things that really bother me about the Chargers' run defense efforts, because in short yardage situations, the Chargers were actually very good against the run, and they've been going back to last week when they stopped that 4th and 1 against the Titans on the QB sneak. So there were some improvements, but the 55-yard run is the one that absolutely kills me. It's right after a score by the Chargers, and then you just give up that back-breaking run. It's just like when the Chargers got a big touchdown, and then right after Marlon Mack in week 1 comes back and has that huge touchdown run. The Chargers give up giant plays like this, David. The 55-yard rush, Rayshon Jenkins ends up chasing down the running back, David Montgomery, but it was after Rayshon Jenkins took a bad angle and allowed it to be a giant play to begin with. So more struggling from Rayshon Jenkins, taking that angle up from the free safety spot to help in the running game. We saw it a lot with Jahlil Adai last season, and a lot of people are getting frustrated with Rayshon Jenkins and his ability to come up and make a stop, and that's a huge part of being a free safety. But on the flip side of the ball, David, the Chargers couldn't rush the ball at all. There's the 4th straight game going under 40 rushing yards. Every game that Melvin Gordon's actually taken a snap in, the Chargers have not been able to run the football. So you get the one nice run. Besides that, you get absolutely nothing. Austin Ekeler goes 3 carries for 3 yards. It's just, David, on both sides of the ball, the Chargers, even after a win right now, still have not solved either issue of stopping the run or getting the run game going.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, part of that has to do with, you know, the guys that are down on the defensive line. But on the offensive line, it's Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, the pass blocking, which we'll get into in the what went right, it's just so opposite with the run blocking. They've just been terrible. The run blocking has just been terrible. They're not opening up any holes, which is making the offense very one-dimensional and very easy to predict. And another thing that went wrong was, you were mentioning those big runs, those big plays. It always seems like those big plays happen right after the Chargers do something great, which kind of leads me to my next point, is the Chargers defense failing before halftime again and again and again. And it was no different in this game. It's something that absolutely went wrong and has gone wrong the entire season.
It is something that has gone wrong for them all season. It seems like it's a foregone conclusion that the other team is going to put up some sort of points against the Chargers at halftime, no matter how much time is left. And I think for the Chargers, that's really symbolic of how it always goes for them, because it's not just the end of the first half. It's the beginning of the third quarter and not making adjustments coming out of halftime. You go into this game, you're down by 2 points, and you let them come out and score a touchdown on their opening drive. And that, I mean, was the whole game. The Bears absolutely bled the Chargers defense out. So for them to stay in this game when the Bears had 38 minutes of possession in this game and the Chargers only have 22 minutes of possession due to the lack of being able to convert third downs and actually get some sustained drives going, you can't have it. And this defense isn't good enough to be on the field that long. But getting into the last thing I want to get to for what went wrong is the lack of Austin Ekeler being involved in the offensive game plan, John, because we saw him with one touch in the first half. In the first half, when the Chargers struggled, I told you the first 5 drives or 4 punts and one interception. Austin Ekeler in that half only has one catch for 8 yards. John, the Chargers are struggling offensively, and in the game, Austin Ekeler only touches the ball 5 times. To me, that's absolutely bad coaching to not be able to get your guy, Austin Ekeler, in the position to find a way to make an impact offensively.
Amen. Preach, my brother. Preach it. I was yelling at the game, like, why is Melvin Gordon still in the game? I wanted Ekeler so bad. And I kept wondering, okay, this is the play Ekeler comes in and runs it. This is the play Ekeler comes in and runs it. Nope, still Melvin Gordon. I couldn't believe it. I kept wondering, when is Ekeler going to come in this game so we could try to throw a deep pass to him again, like the Titans game, or so that he can maybe make some runs that can gain like 8 yards at least so we can get 2nd and 2. Because Melvin wasn't hitting the hole as fast as we would like, and he wasn't driving his feet as much. He did on the touchdown play. The touchdown play was phenomenal by Melvin. A great vision, finding his way in. But other than that, he was not exploding through holes. He wasn't moving his feet. He was getting tackled pretty easily. Austin Ekeler could have made a difference there. He flies through holes and makes at least one guy miss. We could have had 2nd and 2 a whole bunch in this game if we had used him.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the reason the Chargers kept being unable to convert those third downs. They put themselves in a lot of really bad situations. And of course, in this game, we saw something that's killed the Chargers a lot this season, and it was the penalties. The Chargers got back to their penalized ways in this one. They gave up 5 first downs due to penalties to the Bears. You absolutely cannot give that up to a team that really struggles offensively. Just to give them 5 automatic first downs is something you can't do. And just the penalties themselves, getting 8 penalties for 53 yards in this game, you have to be more disciplined than that. You have to use Austin Ekeler more than that. There's still so many frustrations in this game, guys, that we could go all day. But we do have one more segment to get into, ending the show on a positive note, getting into what went right coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the last segment of the day, getting into what went right. And, of course, in a game like this where the Chargers should have lost, it's another game where it's tough to pick out a lot of things that went right for the Chargers in this game. But I'll start by just saying this was a very, very gritty performance by the Chargers, and especially the defense. And, it, of course, getting a win in a situation like this is what went right. I don't care that they don't deserve it. I don't care that the Bears absolutely blew it. The Chargers got a win, and even though it doesn't fix any of the bigger problems that they had, they absolutely needed it, and they found a way to win ugly. They made it tough on the Bears, and the Chargers defense, I mean, I know they gave up some easy plays, and there were some questionable soft zone coverages that were played. Denzel Perryman was covering Allen Robinson on a 31-yard gain, which you never want to see. And I think Denzel Perryman was liking the tweet just to say, yeah, I don't know why I was covering Allen Robinson. At least that's the way I like to think about it. But in this game, the Chargers defense, especially when it got backed up against the goal line, David, was really good. I mean, the Bears had chances, like John mentioned earlier, to score 5 touchdowns in this game. And for once, the Chargers, you know, known for their bend, don't break defense. But in this game specifically, I mean, getting set up on the 4-yard line and allowing 0 yards to the Bears in a field goal attempt. I mean, it was just awesome to see that the Chargers defense show that kind of fight, especially, David, after the easy touchdowns that we saw last week. Ryan Tannehill to Corey Davis in the front of the end zone. Ryan Tannehill, easy throw to the back of the end zone. I mean, those were such easy plays. It was such a nice thing to see the Chargers defense stiffen up when the Bears got in close.
And the Bears got in close a lot, Daniel. They had multiple opportunities inside the red zone to try to get the ball across the plane, but the Chargers defense did not allow them to do it. They were spectacular on the goal line. That is definitely part of the reason why the Chargers won this football game. Without that stoutness and that, you know, hey, you're just not going to get past me mentality, they were not going to win that game. So one of the things that I saw that really went right, that kind of coincided with that, was obviously Joey Bosa was phenomenal, but I want to give the old man Thomas Davis some credit. I think Thomas Davis played his best game as a Charger. I think he diagnosed run plays a lot better. He just was more tackled with more authority. I didn't see him, you know, miss as many tackles as previous games. I thought the old man played fairly well.
Yeah, and he absolutely derailed a Bears drive. Before the last drive where they missed a field goal, they were on the fringe of field goal range before the Joey Bosa sack on 2nd and 7, where they could get it, you know, to 3rd and 4, potentially with the 3 yards per carry that they could get pretty much any time of the day. He shoots a gap. They end up getting a 3-yard loss on the play, and then Joey Bosa gets the sack. They have to punt back to the Chargers. But you're right, Thomas Davis, especially after, you know, getting called out by John Kegley last week for just some really soft tackles in the hole on Derrick Henry, had a pretty good game, especially for what he's been able to do this year. And I thought Denzel Perryman had some moments in run defense as well, not at all in coverage, because, I mean, that's not what he's supposed to be out there doing. But I like that call a lot. And, I mean, just talking about Joey Bosa, we said we were going to talk about him yesterday, but he is just getting back to his absolute apex form this season. And it's so much more than the sack numbers. I saw somebody comparing Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa, and they both have the same amount of sacks, and Nick Bosa has one less game played. But at the same time, Nick Bosa has 9 run stops. Joey Bosa has 29 run stops this season. So I just think that it's really hard to compare those guys, but it was pretty cool to see them setting the record for the most sacks in a game by 2 brothers on the same day. They broke the record of TJ Watt and JJ Watt, as well as a record from 1985 when Toby Williams and Jimmy Williams also did it. Those brother combinations only had 4 sacks in those games. Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa combined for 5 sacks on Sunday, with Nick Bosa getting 3 and Joey getting 2. But John, Joey Bosa is once again my favorite player to watch. He is an absolute night and day difference from the Joey Bosa we saw recovering from injury last season to what he is now. I mean, he even limped in this game, was able to get taped up and got back in the game and was just as impactful as before he left. But this is the Joey Bosa we all thought we were going to see if he stayed healthy. And not only is he living up to the hype, he's absolutely exceeding it with what this team has asked him to do in the running game and to be such a key contributor against the run when we know how good of a pass rusher he is. Joey Bosa is an absolute pleasure to watch right now, and it was on display in his 2nd game in a row with 2 sacks.
And something that doesn't go on the stat sheet, because he technically didn't force the fumble, is him pushing a Bears offensive lineman into the quarterback, and the quarterback stumbling, trying to scramble, loses the ball on his own because he's stumbling, and the Chargers recover that fumble. That doesn't go on the stat sheet except for Melvin Ingram getting a fumble recovery. Joey Bosa caused that fumble. Even though it doesn't go as a forced fumble, he caused that fumble, along with the clutch sack that kept the Bears out of field goal range, the elite pass rush that included three quarterback hits, having seven tackles, all of them solo. He took over that game. But I have a kind of a controversial kind of question for you guys here. Casey Hayward could also be considered something that went right in this game with how many times he covered the deep balls. He got an interception. He played some pretty good coverage, but he also had a couple of pass interference calls in this game. So do you guys think Casey Hayward is something that went right or went wrong? Which one do you think it's more of?
I think anytime you get an interception and you flip the field position with a long return, I think it can't be anything but what went right. Although they squandered the opportunity and didn't get any points off of it, it's still a game-changing play. It's still a momentum-changing play. So for me, it's definitely a what went right.
Yeah, I think like most things, it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, that pass interference call he got against Allen Robinson in the end zone was absolutely brutal. You cannot make that play there. There's almost a 0% chance that Mitchell Trubisky completes that pass, and we saw what the throw ended up being. So for him to get that physical in the end zone, it's not really his game. So I will say that it is a little bit of both, but in this game, one of my keys was the Chargers defense setting the Chargers offense up for success, because I didn't have the faith that they'd be able to get it done alone. And guess what? My prayers were answered, so to speak. So I think that had to be what went right in this game. The interception, returning it to the 20-yard line. If you get the ball to the 20-yard line, there's no way your offense shouldn't come away with points in that scenario. And I think that's what went right for the defense in general, John. Just being able to come out in the second half and get those turnovers when your offense couldn't do anything. It's absolutely the reason the Chargers won the game.
Without a doubt. The offense could not move the ball. We had one really good drive, and that was the field goal drive. The touchdown drive wasn't really that good. It just got one giant completion that set us up. Other than that, we did not have a drive in this game. The fumble and the interception helped us out a lot. And one of them was a missed field goal, yeah, but that's points that the Bears couldn't get because they didn't have the ball. But the fumble by Joey Bosa for the game-winning touchdown. The turnovers definitely won us the game. And it hate to say, but if the Bears had made the field goal, we'd be talking about the missed field goal that was set up by an interception.
Yeah, exactly. You're right on that. And I think that the Chargers defense gave up some pretty soft plays, and they had a lot of time struggling to get off the field. And when you're struggling to get off the field, one way to do it right off the bat is by getting sacks in getting those takeaways. And I think this Chargers defense, how it's currently constituted, needs takeaways to be up there with the better defenses. I mean, with the guys that you're missing, Derwin James, Adrian Phillips, just to name a couple, you're never going to get the maximum potential out of this defense. But one way that you can keep and stay competitive with this defense is by getting those turnovers and getting those takeaways. Plus, you can help out your struggling offense. I also do want to just send a shout-out to Drew Tranquil, who played a lot better in this game than he did the last game. Obviously, still a rookie, but you're seeing some strides there. And Damian Square continues to just be a man these last couple of days. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Damian Square getting in on the action and just having another really good game, and especially one goal line series where he had an impact on two of the three plays before the field goal. I really have loved what I've seen out of Damian Square, something we've never seen in his career with the Chargers, and he's done it all over the last couple of weeks. So really love to see that. I thought Jerry Tillery had some moments as well, because I think the 55-yard rushing by the Bears makes it seem like it was a much more dominant rushing effort than it was. I mean, you take away those 55 yards, I thought the rest of the plays, the Chargers defensive line played pretty well against the run in this game, and that was a positive. But hey, it's like going against a team that was really bad at running the football to begin with. So before we wrap things up, David, do you have anything else that you want to add into the what went right segment before we end the show?
I talked about in the what went wrong how bad the run blocking went, but the pass blocking was phenomenal. The pass blocking, the offensive line did not give up a sack until 2 minutes left in the game. So got to give credit where credit is due. They did a good job. And of course, you got to give some credit to the returning offensive tackle, Russell Okung.
When Russell Okung went out due to an injury, you saw Trent Scott get beat by Khalil Mack almost instantly, gets a sack on the Chargers' last offensive drive. So, yes, I mean, Questenberry, I thought, played pretty good as well, besides the holding call that obviously pushed them back. The Chargers definitely held their own in pass rush situations in this game. Phillip Rivers was running around a little bit, but for the most part, they were not the reason the Chargers couldn't stay on the field. It was just lack of execution by the rest of the guys. So that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers so you can get the show. But the best way to get the show the fastest is by subscribing to us on Google Podcasts. Tune in wherever you get your podcast from, rate and review there, and you will always get the show before everyone else does. And if you guys want to call in and get your voice on the show for the Friday voicemail segment, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. I want to hear your guys' thoughts before this game against the Green Bay Packers. But we will be back with you guys tomorrow on Crossover Wednesday talking with Locked On Packers. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.